Fire Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. We're back from our small trip to the south, to Palm Springs, to the land of wasted water and big expanses of green lawns. I saw watering going on everywhere, and I was thinking, I wonder where they get this water from. Then I realized that Shasta Lake had dropped another 6 inches. Anyway, hey, we're joined, of course, today by Bad Bob.
Good morning, and welcome back.
Bob, you look like you've, you know, your beard's grown. You've lost 20 pounds, and you are just a happy guy.
And I'm a better dancer, yes.
Okay, well, you know, Bob, just the one thing you'd forgotten while we were gone, that when Linda and I give a little kiss right before we get started, you are not in the middle of that. So kind of hold back. And speaking of not holding back and a kiss, my bride, Linda.
Good morning. It's currently 49 degrees. How are you this morning? 7:06 here on KCNR. We're always taking your calls, 605-4567. Let us know what happened for you over the weekend. It felt like we were gone a very long time, although we were just gone Thursday, Friday, and over the weekend. But we did go through that long trip down to El Cajon, and it's been a long time since we drove south.
That far south.
Yeah.
Usually we drive that far south. We go just a few miles further, load up the car with a bunch of illegals, and come back. You know, we're just trying to do our part for the economy here, you know, for the, okay. Anyway, when we, one of the things, though, we want to do is thank the people that stood in for us on Thursday and
yes,
Friday.
Yes, we do.
Absolutely. Sharon and Jerry, who did a great job on Thursday, and then Mark Beecham, Mike Quinn on Friday, and then Alana Burke and Mike Quinn again on Monday.
Thanks, guys, for covering for us. We called in. It was felt like, again, like we missed our baby. Coming up after this particular break, we're going to have Nick Webb, who's got a special event happening here in town that we want to make sure you get tickets or you come to. We'll find all out about that. But going back to what you've got your paper there, it's like I feel like you're kind of antsy. Like you got something you got to get out. Get it out.
Well, I'm just saying is also besides Nick today, Patrick Jones is going to stop by and wants to talk about a couple of things. I'd like to talk to him about one thing. Specifically that was in the paper today. And then the Shasta County Auditor, Connie Rignell, is going to be here today from at 8 o'clock to discuss what the auditor does. She's running, of course, for re-election this time. So as we have done in every case that we have tried, is to get the people that are running for office onto the show so people can listen to them, ask them questions, see what they stand for and what they plan to do this coming year in this time of stress.
It was really interesting, again, going back to what it was to travel, because as we went to various locations in Southern California, we ran into our Brit friends that, you know, they have, of course, green cards and they work here. But, you know, we talked a lot about politics and health care and their view on it. And then when we went to Palm Springs, we had different walks of life that our girls that, we all performed together years ago, and each of us have different, you know, some are attorneys, married to an attorney, written books, my girlfriend who lives on an island in Greece. And we did talk about politics and health care. What do you think was your general, you, Carl, not being an outsider, being on the inside, and really visiting with, you know, playing golf and being with the guys, you know, what do you think was the overall feeling about what's happening with this health care?
Well, it was interesting because, conservative, some of them were conservative Republicans. Others were kind of ambivalent toward anything. But the one thing that everybody was on everybody's mind was health care and what this could do to the country and what is known of the health care project that's happening here for Obamacare. And at the same time, these were Republicans that were upset with Republicans in the legislative process because they felt like they weren't doing anything except fighting everything instead of trying to offer up something new or offer up you know, some kind of bipartisanship. So that was an interesting aspect of it. And we're going to be talking about health care and other subjects like that. When we talked to our friends from England who immigrated to here the correct way. It took them years to do it and took them thousands of dollars, but they have a green card now. He works for a company down in San Diego. His wife doesn't work. Where if she was in England, they would both be working full-time and not be enjoying the life that we have in the United States.
Well, she likes being able to, not to interrupt, but she doesn't work by choice because they have two teenagers.
Yeah,
and
right.
She's been able to raise those children. They're very involved. They're not TV addicts. They read. They do family gatherings every night at the table. The kids come out. I feel like we're talking to these young adults who are so articulate and engaged.
And that's true. But the thing is one of the aspects of living in Great Britain that we talked to and we will discuss today is their health care system and what happens in their health care system. Now, these are people that have lived under the system for, you know, decades. And they know the goods. They know what's good about it, but they also know all the problems. And they're looking at what's facing America, and they think that maybe America should take a good look about what's going to happen. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to be with Nick Webb, but we're going to be discussing a number of other subjects today as we head on through our 2 hours. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. And we are streaming at KCNR1460.com. That's KCNR1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Market vol.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Great friends of ours, finest walk-in humidor in the state. Espresso Joe's gives you the coffee you want at the prices that are excellent. Joe and Shelley, support this community. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. So much more than a tobacco emporium.
And don't forget that on Friday will be our internet show. We always bring to Tobacco and Brew on Friday at 12 o'clock. We have a surprise guest. We'll be making that announcement tomorrow. We hope you join us. Usually we have that guest on Friday afternoon. We're trying to still secure that guest. So stay tuned. By the way, Linda at KCNR1460.com, taking your emails, because I know you're going to want to email some questions to me when we introduce this next phenomenal guest who lives right here in the North State, inventor, writer, director, producer, TV guy. He's got so many irons in the fire. It's just amazing that he's walking, and he is really incredible. And on March 31st, which, my gosh, that's just tomorrow,
yeah,
is an event that you're holding here. Tell us, good morning, by the way. We're talking to Nick Webb.
Good morning.
Thank you for being our guest.
I appreciate it. Yeah, so the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce asked me if I would do a program on customer service, and I disdain the word customer service because it's a fractional solution to what really needs to be done if you want to survive in business today. But tomorrow from 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock, if you haven't already registered, I think they want you to get there at 7:30, or you can register at the chamber before. We're going to be filming a promo video for my upcoming book, The Innovation Playbook, that will be out in September. And it's going to be, I think, a very important program. In fact, 10 years ago, I was given the privilege, when I first moved to town, to speak for EDC, and I made some predictions. I said that in Shasta County, we're going to be competing with the UPS truck. You know, people are going to ship products in here, and you're going to be competing against national franchises, and you're going to be competing against corporate organizations. And I think I predicted at one time, just by my own count, about 30 companies that I thought 6 months after living here would go out of business, and 28 of those companies did. So I have the privilege of working with some great economists, and basically the economy is going to get a lot worse over the next 3 to 5 years. It certainly won't get any better. And if you're not equipped with the tools that we're going to talk about in this program tomorrow, I really think that it's not just an issue of growing and prospering, it's an issue of survivability.
Well, Nick, you know that many of our listeners are small businesses and business owners and developers. We advocate, and it's kind of our mission statement, to use shop local, stay local. And for those people who perhaps cannot come tomorrow, We encourage everybody to come because, first of all, if you've never met Nick Webb, he's such a dynamic man. You're going to leave in these 2 hours with wonderful morsels of information to empower you and your business. I completely believe that 100%. But if you could not make it because for whatever reason you have to be there to open the doors to your business, could you perhaps give us one or two highlights that one could take just from this interview this morning?
Sure. I think the biggest one is digital media. Digital media has changed the world. Without understanding, I recommend to people to develop a digital media command center. And by that, you need to manage your online reputation. For an example, recently I was looking for health food stores here in Reading to buy something. It was amazing how many blogs were out there talking very widely about these businesses. And so I made a decision if I was interested or not interested in going to a store based on what I saw online. So you must manage your online reputation. That is critical. And you need to do that through a variety of modalities. Digital media now is a department in most corporations. Your ability to manage your internet reputation and manage what I talk about in the program, I call it the white virus. For every person that goes to a company and has a good experience, they tell 8 people. But if you do what I call the digital multiplier, that could be 8 million people learn about your business positively, and as a result of this tipping point of the white virus, you win. Conversely, if a person comes and has a bad experience, they tell 22 people, and if you look at the digital multiplier, that could be 22 million people know that you're a lousy company. It's very, very hard to get out of the downward spiral once you become part of the digital multiplier. I have seen reputations destroy companies, and now with the internet, the ability to grow your business or destroy your business is based on your digital media command center. If you don't have that, I don't care if you're a gas station, if you don't have that, you are in severe danger.
Well, one of the problems is that I could just see what's happening here is a cyber war. And, you know, perhaps not at small business, though it probably have a bigger impact on small businesses. You have your website, you have your products on your website. This is what we do. And, you know, and then it just, if you don't keep it up, if it's not what the people are looking for, that when they see it, it gives a bad taste. And how can you recover from this?
Well, you can't in most times. I mean, we know a lot of it. We know some patent attorneys. We know some accounting firms that literally were destroyed because of bad digital media. The bottom line is that there is a philosophical premise of decision by way of indecision, which basically says that if you don't decide today to take a dynamic control of your digital reputation, then gravity takes over and you will wind up letting the outside world control your online reputation. You need to have a digital media presence, and you need to have that as part of your integrated planning. You need to know how you manage SEO, viral video. You need to have a LinkedIn profile. You need to be on Twitter. You need to understand how to use Facebook. These aren't cute kid things anymore. These are survival tools.
Great. We have to take a break. We are with Nick Webb. Oh, my. Already I'm feeling the fire in the room. Okay. This is Carl and Linvat here. Well, welcome back. We're so happy to be back here in the North State in Reading. This is KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Now, my friends, the reason, you know, we're talking with Nick Webb. He's going to have a seminar tomorrow that is so important. Let's talk about that seminar. Again, how to get there, where to sign up.
If you haven't already registered, you should do it by contacting them today and pre-registering. I think it'll make your throughput a little bit better.
Chamber of Commerce,
I'm sorry. And I think it's $25 for chamber members and $50 for non-chamber members. Nobody's trying to sell anything there. We don't provide services to Reading businesses. And we're volunteering our time for the chamber. So this is really just an event that the chamber put together because they saw the real need for us to be competitive beyond our county borders. And I think it's a great program.
And it's going to be at the
convention center.
Right, okay, just one.
And there's some really great stuff. You know, as a successful inventor with 35 products, one thing that I learned is from my 35 inventions is that you need to understand what we call the baseline level of expectation. So how do you understand what people expect, and how do you go beyond the trajectory of that expectation? The real cool thing about this program is they're going to see the stuff that's coming out in my book, The Innovation Playbook, that will be out in September. They're going to be the first group to ever see these tools that we use with some of our largest corporate clients like Honeywell, and we work with MIT and with University of Northern Iowa and large medical companies. So they're going to learn some state-of-the-art tools that nobody has seen yet today except our large clients.
You know, one of the things that's been said, and we were talking about it during the break, is your introduction of your company or of your business, I should say. You know, business could be you and your wife and, you know, four of their friends. And so the website is so important. It's not just putting the website up. It's keeping it, keeping it fresh. And then, like you said, getting into Twitter, getting into the
LinkedIn.
Right, LinkedIn, YouTube, all of these, and actually, you know, spending hours a day doing this.
Right. I'll give you an example. Here locally, and I don't want to mention any names because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but there was a business that started here in Reading, and there was a high level of what we call brand noise, a lot of talk about the company or this business. When people went to the business, they were highly disappointed. Within 70, 80 hours, they were done. In my opinion, this business will be out of business in 4 months because they blew it when they opened up. They made a lot of people mad, and it became explosive based on that digital multiplier. Just more and more people talked about it. So the website's interesting, and you should have a good website. The key to a good website is you always give away things free. But the website is the least most important thing that you do when it comes to your digital reputation. Your digital reputation is based on making sure that you have happy customers that want to talk about you. You should have a blog. You should have a video blog. You should definitely be on Twitter every day. You most certainly, if you're in business, need to have a LinkedIn account. You need to understand how to use LinkedIn. I have made a lot of money from LinkedIn. It is my single biggest source of business resource of business referrals is from LinkedIn. So if you're not using these resources, you're losing money. And you know the other thing, it doesn't matter what kind of business you're in. I don't care if you're selling guitars here in town or if you're selling mufflers. I can have that sitting on my front door via Federal Express or UPS. I don't need to be treated poorly. I don't need to pay too much for it. So to think that you're competing within just the boundaries of Shasta County is naive, to say the very least.
Well, we're just standing here kind of like speechless thinking about down as fast as we can.
Okay, now we know that Bob and Brenda Belongi have a show on Saturdays called Boomer Tech. This is their deal. Bob, I know you're dying to go jump in.
Well, the question I have, of course, if you're a very small organization, I have a one-man band essentially, how does one do this and run the business day to day, even if you've got a dozen employees, even, you know, filling out your payroll stuff and all that? If you don't have the resources to undertake all these things, how do you get this digital stuff done? That sounds like hours and hours of work out of the week, and that would be a conundrum for your business owners.
Well, first of all, you have to look at it. This is more important than HR. It's more important than most. You know, we become internally focused. We think about our payroll. We think about facility management. We think about cash management. What we have to realize is that this needs to be a principal focus of your business. And the good news is there's a great book called The 4-Hour Work Week, and there's lots of great resources in that book. You need a VA, a virtual assistant. Pay somebody to do it. You need content writers. If you don't want to do your own blog, there's plenty of people that'll do blogs very inexpensively for you. But not having a blog, not being proactive with your digital reputation is an absolute major mistake. And one last point, this isn't just about digital media. This is about all of the trends that the greatest companies in the world do to grow and prosper. And this was from after looking at 180 companies, including some of the best companies. We're going to feature four companies, including two local companies, at the presentation. And I think these case studies will show you how to do it right.
Our guest is Nick Webb, and we have just a few minutes before we hit the hard break. Nick, tomorrow, again, March 31st, check out the Chamber of Commerce. Get your tickets. If you're a business owner, you're going to get some valuable information, probably a lot of much more valuable information, which is very timely. Closing thoughts.
Well, I mean, I think that the most important thing to realize is that if you're not there, your competition may very well be there. And this is the things we're going to talk about are the ultimate competitive advantages that will allow you to grow and prosper and actually take advantage of a down economy. So I really think it'll be a great program. There's going to be some free prizes inside when they get there, so they'll leave with some other resources they didn't expect.
Now, will they have will you have handouts in so that when people leave, they've got these great ideas you're talking about written down already and ways of
sort of they get to go on my website and download free stuff.
Oh,
and
okay.
Again, that's the key to all of this. And remember, I don't sell services to in Shasta County. We do not have clients. We're not looking to sell anybody anything. Mm-hmm. So it's completely gratuitous.
You know, since we've met, Nick, and you find somebody that's got 35 patents, and you just brought something else.
It's called the Trial Cultivator Knee Cushion. Tell us quickly about this particular item.
Oh, this is a product that we developed with the Orthopedic Research Institute, and it turns out that the overwhelming majority of people who do so-called hand gardening have some sort of compromised soft tissue problem. So this was developed to help people dig holes and garden without injuring their wrist and hands. So it's a fun product. It comes with a really interesting DVD and a cushion. And in fact, they're available at Holiday Foods.
That's cool.
It is.
Thank you very much.
We've got like 30 seconds. You know, Nick, thank you so much, first of all, for coming on. But we'd like you to come on a few more times here. You know, I know that there's thoughts of leaving our fair area, but have you on as a regular guest?
Sure, I'd love to.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for motivating us this morning.
This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl Lindebaugh on KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Okay, that was that cup of coffee that the mayor...
Emails coming in already, but we're going to get to those in a second because I want to tell you what the weather is going to be today. High of 52, showers, and possibly a thunderstorm. Southwest wind between 7 and 11 miles per hour with gusts as high as 18 miles per hour. Tonight, showers likely. Cloudy with a low of around 35. Weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. We're going to talk about Anselmo's in a little bit, what's happening out there April 15th. Good morning, Patrick Jones. And there is a question that's already come in from the emails, but I know you've got something on your mind, and that's why we wanted to have you come on. This is
just
Rush.
Clapping her in.
That's right. It's a lot of excitement right. 7:30 in the morning
Rush
for me.
You. Okay.
Thank you,
the
Carl.
Fact
thank
that
you,
Linda. Your breathing is good here at 7:30 in the morning, right?
That's true. But this is the usual time that I get into work, so it's not so bad. Thank you for having me on again. I did want to come back on fairly quickly because I wanted to talk a little bit more about some developments with my Washington, D.C. trip, and I wanted to let the public know exactly what had transpired with that. And last week, I think it was, when I came on,
yeah.
I talked about the D.C. trip, and I met up with both of our U.S. senators, our congressmen, all kinds of different officials in the Department of Transportation, and had some good talks about one of our number one priorities here in the city of Reading, which is Oasis Road Interchange. And originally, when I was first thinking about it, in fact, back in January, we have a mayor's conference that typically, all the mayors from the United States can go to D.C., and I'd talked to our city staff about it, and they said, our travel budget's pretty weak right now. And I said, well, that's all right. We can skip it. And so I did. So when this trip was coming up and Levinson Development asked me about it, I said, our city budget is a little tight right now. And he says, well, I'll pay for it. And I thought, well, that'll be good. It won't cost the taxpayers any money. So we had a good trip. It was productive. I think it may bear fruit in the future. But on returning, I let city staff know about it. And within a day or so, they thought that there might be an issue with the trip as being a gift. And so I checked with the FPPC, which is the Fair Political Practice Commission, and sure enough, anything over $400, even though this was city business and a number one priority, something we've been working on for quite some time, anything over $400 is a gift. So I had to add up all my expenditures and at a $650 night at the Willard Motel, that was rather costly at $2,805. And so I wrote a check to the developer and covered him in full for everything that we did. Now, sure, I hadn't intended on that.
Well, let me get right into this, Beth. First of all, what's a $650 room like?
He was in Washington.
I know, but what is a $650 room like? Is it kind of like our Red Lion Inn or something?
You know, to be honest, you know, most of our meetings, you know, we went through most of the day, and so at night I was pretty tired. It's 9 o'clock at night, and I'm tired. You have to walk a lot in D.C., so I'm walking a lot more than I'm used to, and so you know, I take a shower and hit the hay, and I did get 2 chocolates. So that was nice.
I mean, if you're gonna stay in Washington, down by the Capitol, or down even like what Carl and you and I say, little on the outskirts, you're still $300 a night. That's on the outskirts. So you know, staying in close, especially with the time.
Right, and the Willard is a pretty historic motel, and you've got a view of the White House, and so it was obviously expensive.
I think
and
it's a hotel, not a motel.
Motel.
Motel, I think, is under $100. After that, it's a hotel.
I barely make it out of Cottonwood here, so. But nevertheless, I just wanted to let the public know that for some people that picked up on it the last time I was on air, they were correct in that that would be perceived as a gift, and it's quite understandable. People are upset with politicians taking these junkets and things that are gifts, and people should be concerned with that. I really didn't think this was a gift. This was, you know, city business. It was a very quick trip, but it was productive for the city. I didn't do anything other than city business, and so unfortunately I made a mistake, did not realize that this was a gift. I wanted to let the public know that. And then I've corrected that mistake by reimbursing that developer in full. Some people have criticized me for going with the developer, but realistically, this is a high priority, a number one priority for the city of Reading, and I felt that it was a good, productive trip. And when I was there, I met up with other lobbying companies and found that several of these lobbying companies are lobbying for cities in California half the size of Reading. Money's doled out in Washington, and the fact of the matter is, if you don't have a presence there, you're bypassed and overlooked. So the trip was successful. It didn't cost taxpayers any money, just one taxpayer money. That would be me.
Did you hear that? It's the bill. Thank you for being honest. A politician who's being honest and coming clean.
That bill hasn't rung a lot lately.
Not that you ever needed to come clean. But anyway, so thank you for coming on the air and setting it straight. Now, can we take a message or take an email question?
Sure.
Okay.
If you don't,
are you ready?
Yeah, you're ready.
I'm ready.
Once you're on here, you're on here.
I'm ready.
Okay. The handling of this decision to suspend work on the new police station makes the city council look secretive. Why wasn't this made public, given the high level of interest by the public and the press?
Well, I'm not sure how much I can talk about that. It was a closed session item. So to be honest, I'm not sure how much can be talked about. But in general, the council is very committed to building a new police facility. The major issue is money. What could we do today with the finances that we have available to be able to get the police equipped with the kind of structure that they need? And I think the bottom line is we're in a massive global recession. We don't have the money today to do it justice, to do it right. I believe even if we were to buy a building for the possibility of a retrofit, that we wouldn't have the money to retrofit it, to make those improvements, those essential service upgrades that have to be done, and the interior work that would have to be done. And so I suspect, that's probably about as much as I can say about it. But
This, of course, is regarding the KMS building and deciding that we're deciding not to use the KMS building as a police station.
Well, I think temporarily for the moment.
Take a step back.
You know, we just have to reevaluate what kind of money we have. With an uncertain economy, declining revenues coming into the city still, we have to be very cautious about taking on new projects, even one that we want to do so bad. And so that's the general theme here. I don't think it's too secretive. It's just I do believe you're right that we probably ought to talk about it more. And since you're bringing it up now and it's going out on the airways across the Reading area, Northern California, we probably will talk about it more. But I don't think it's any secret that we're short on cash.
Oh, yeah, that's no secret at all. Hey, we've got to take a quick break here. Our guest is Mayor Patrick Jones. We're going to have him for about another 10 minutes here before he has to go to work. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone line's here, 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Our guest is Mayor Patrick Jones. Record Searchlight had an interesting column today about only our one source of job growth, the government, and used an amazing group of statistics to show us how the jobs in Shasta County have dropped dramatically, but yet they've grown in city government. Is this the future?
Well, I think if you look at overall, the personnel with the city of Reading, obviously our numbers have shrunk as well. But we're still continuing infrastructure jobs, and that's what's really helping Northern California and Reading today. We've got an aggressive amount of infrastructure projects. If you just look around on Sacramento River, for example, the two bridges, while one is a City of Reading project, the Cypress Bridge, and then you have the 44 Bridge, those are two big projects. Here soon, we are going to be breaking ground on the loop on-ramp at Oasis Road. That's a $3.5 million project. And so, there's a lot of infrastructure. We're doing Clear Creek Wastewater Treatment Plant right now. We have Power Plant 6 out on Clear Creek. And so we have a lot of these things that are, putting money out there that are projects that we need to do. And, it is going to be the next couple years is still going to be a very tough time. While I do believe the economy is starting to flatten and bottom out, I've seen this last quarter, the fourth quarter of last year, while still dismal, it was less of a percent down by quite a bit than previous declines. And so in my mind, that's the first time in 3 years that we've seen a quarter that's starting to flatten. And now we'll have this long, arduous climb back up to where we were. And it'll take some time.
Well, it said here that in 2009, 23.3% of all local jobs were in government, and easily a record for the past two decades. In February, the share was 31%. Now, it's I know that working for the government is kind of it used to be just a safety net for some people, but the amount of the salaries, the retirement, the medical. They're getting paid, many, not everybody, but many are being paid at the same level as the public sector and yet get better benefits.
Well, clearly today, when we have a market that's declining rapidly over the last 3 years, many of your government workers, now some have taken small concessions. The Reading Fire Department, for example, has taken a 13% concession to help keep men working. We appreciate that. But it is true that the highs in the private sector are often followed by lows, and whereas in government you have a more steady line, and there is some security and job security there. Of course, at the City of Reading, we've had to, regrettably, lay people off as well, and we're not necessarily done with that. These quarters keep coming in lower and lower, and so job security even in Reading is not a for certain thing. Mm-hmm. And we've certainly been going to the unions lately and asking for concessions. You've seen this very difficult decision with IBEW Electric, and we've had to make tough decisions that did cost the workers some pay, and those are tough things that we have to do. But to try to keep the rates low, try to keep the general fund from hemorrhaging. Today, we have a balanced budget. We still have a 5% reserve. And, so we're going to continue to work hard to balance that budget. And occasionally, regrettably, it does come at the expense of some city workers.
Do you have time for another question?
One more question.
Okay. Here's another email. Reading is getting a new medical marijuana doctor's office. Do you think that's because Reading has, next to L.A., the most co-ops per population of any city in California?
Well, as you know, I'm not real thrilled about the expansion of the co-ops here in Reading. I've been consistent on it, and I still feel that anything related to marijuana is still against federal law, and so I did not support these things as they were passed at the local level. Today, I would say that Ground Zero is probably the square on Bocelli Lane, and we've got a couple co-ops in a very close area with other businesses, and now it appears that it's possible that very close there they may, I'm not sure all the details, may have a doctor coming in at that location. Not sure I've heard that, but it's certainly kind of ground zero in the Mission Square there. And, I definitely understand the issues. You know, when you can smell marijuana and you're a business owner,
wow.
how your clients may react to that. And so there are some people there that are being impacted.
Or how about just being high in your own place of work because you can't, it's seeping through the walls, so it's that secondary high whether you like it or not.
Correct. And there's several businesses there that it's a real issue. And these are things, because this is all new topics for us, these are things that we're going to have to battle with. And hopefully through the enforcement process that's been set up, that some of these things can be dealt with. And but I know how those business owners would feel, and so I'm disappointed that these issues are still, you know, lingering out there.
Why can't we just, okay, this is the way it's going to be, and then just do it?
Well, of course,
one way or the other.
Well, council has made rules, and one person, the mayor, for example, can't just enact and say this is how it's going to go. We have to take things before the council. Got to count to three.
And speaking of elections, you've got the Chamber of Commerce has endorsed you.
That is correct.
And they haven't before.
That is correct.
So does that feel good?
That feels pretty good. You know, I ran three times before and did not. And I really wanted the Chamber's support because I've been a small businessman in Reading my whole life, long time. And I really felt that, that I wanted and deserved that endorsement. And I did get that today. I think I've proven to them where my heart lies and my dedication to this position. And so I'm very, very proud to have that. And the past is the past. We look at the future, and we try to learn from the mistakes of the past and move forward. And, this will be a tough election this year, and any help I can get will be appreciated.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I know you're busy.
Thank you. Got to get to work.
Yeah, got any trips planned to Cabo?
You're killing me.
Hey, Patrick Jones, thank you so much. Our mayor this morning on March 30th. What a great day it's going to be. Thank you so much. I like it. What we need to do is we always need to have our politicians be accountable. Not only our politicians, our neighbors, we as individuals, honest, upright, and be accountable. This is Carla Linda Bott, your News Talk radio station here on KCNR Clearly News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is...
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carla Linda Bott. And what's that? I kind of like that, whatever that is in the background there. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming KCNR1460.com. In fact, we were in Palm Springs. I was listening to the show.
You know why you like that song?
No.
Because that's the Macarena.
The Macarena. Oh, don't get me started. And our guest in the next
Who
hour.
Who on the globe
when we
has never
started,
heard of that?
Okay, and when we get started in the next hour, maybe we can talk our guest into doing the Macarena. But wait a minute. She's doing it right now.
I'm laughing because, yeah.
Anyway, that's, of course, is a Shasta County Auditor, Connie Rugnell. Well, we're going to get to her right after the next break. Okay, I told you I was going to talk to you a little bit about the health care plan that our friends from England were talking about. Her mom lives in South Wales, and she lives almost like in a utopia there. If she has to go to see the doctor, a little tram comes around, picks her up, takes her to the doctor. She is she's seen by the doctor, gives her any length of time she needs. Doesn't cost her a thing. She goes back. She goes home. She rides the buses around there. They're all for free and all that. And I said, well, you know, that's not exactly the way I heard that it was in England. And our friend's wife, Jewel, said, oh, no, well, she's in South Wales. It's a 20,000-person town. She says, we don't have unemployment problems because it's a tourist town and people come from all over for the beaches. And she says, we don't have immigrants. We don't have immigrants. That, you know, they are not inundated with people, too many people for the facilities. So as you get to the other towns, I said, what happens if you make $100,000 a year? First of all, they laughed. They said most people do not make $100,000 a year because, you know, wages are contained. They said immediately you pay 40 to 50% of your wages to the government, 40 to 50%. So let's just say for that $100,000, $50,000 immediately goes to the government. And I said, well, that takes care of your health. And he goes, oh, no, there's 8 to 10% national health tax that you pay into. Another 5% that you're paying into for, it's like your Social Security. Now, the problem is, they said for so many years, people paid into the national health tax. It became huge. And what happened? They raided it. Very much like our Social Security tax that was so huge, and they started raiding it. So now they don't have the money in there. So you're anyway, so you end up paying out of that $100,000. And my friends, these are people that lived there. They are paying 65% in taxes. And he was a commander in the British Navy. It wasn't like he was a it wasn't like some, you know, tycoon with British Air. Now, on top of that, add your value-added tax. I heard that term used during the election process. Somebody said, well, a value-added tax could help. A value-added tax means a 17%. Okay, let's say that again. 17% added on to anything you buy in England. This is why young men and women that are in their mid to late 20s are still living at home. They can't afford a home. They can't afford a car because the car, which is already costly, has another 17% added onto it. And then gas. Gas is $8 a gallon. $8 a gallon. Now, this is in England where they've got the North Sea oil fields all around them, but it costs $8 for a gallon of gas. Of course, they don't sell it in gallons. They sell it in liters. And so the first time I saw it, I thought, well, that's not too bad, until I realized it was liters, then I realized how bad it is. This is what happens when mom gets great health care. Somebody has to pay for it. Who's going to pay for it? Where is the money going to come when 32 million new people are on the doles? Don't tell me that, oh, that doesn't start till 2014. The money has got to start coming out now. And you, of course, realize that last week was the point where the first time Social Security is paying out more than it's taken in. And why do you think that is? That's because our politicians got their long, greedy noses into it and sucked it out. So, our guest next time, next hour, we will change.
Well, that's just a fabulous segue. Well, I would just love that segue.
Well, we're going to go into Fox News. We're going to go to Fox News. But here's this
Let's
is
do the
truth.
Macarena and
this
have
is
a good
not
time.
My opinion. This is not my opinion. This is based on facts. This is what's happening. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, Clearly News Talk Radio. This is KCNR Shasta Ready. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's a great day right here on KCNR 1460. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're out streaming on KCNR1460.com, which, by the way, I was listening to while we were far, far away in the land of palm trees.
Yeah, we would be able to hear.
Desert and stuff.
It was great to hear. In fact, I got to hear Boomer Tech. I had the computer on and listening to Boomer and Tech, and that's the great thing about the world, the WWW, World Wide Web. You can hear our show or any. It's amazing what you can listen to.
The people in Pretoria.
Hey, today it's going to be a high of a 52, showers, and there's going to be a southwest wind from 7 to 11 miles per hour. Tonight, showers, and there's going to be a chance of thunderstorms. I don't know about you, but was that the biggest windy night you've experienced?
We got close to getting hit by lightning and took out our transmitter for a little while.
Currently 40. Thank God for our experts. Currently 48 degrees. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Join us April 15th out there at Anselmo Vineyards, just a short distance from Reading, where there will be show, shine, wine, and dine. It's going to be a great time. 50 fabulous cars. We have Double Take, and the beautiful Beverly D'Angelo will be singing with her group at 3 o'clock. We're going to be riding a Harley out there and having a great time. By the way, we will also have the chef on soon, because that day there's going to be, for the show, shine, wine, and dine, hamburgers, fries, milkshakes. It's going to be a great time, April 15th at 11 o'clock. Yeah.
People from America Graffiti, Paul Lamont, and Bo Hopkins are going to be there. And, of course, Beverly D'Angelo, the star of all those vacation movies, plus many others. Hey, our guest today in this segment is Connie Regnell, who is the Shasta County Auditor. Good morning.
Currently.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning, Connie. How are you today?
I am wonderful, thank you. And thank you for having me on.
Absolutely.
Well,
let's get down to it.
One of the things we do is everybody that runs for office or is holding a seat, even if they're running unopposed, we want to have on the show. So people can talk to them, ask them questions, and hear what they really are saying. And ask them questions that they ordinarily would not be able to do because they don't see them. Maybe they didn't get the phone call, maybe or whatever. But here they can. They can ask either via email, going to Linda at KCNR1460.com, or just call us at 605-4567. Good morning.
Good morning.
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit of who Connie Regnell is?
Well, I guess I will start with the professional side, because I am currently the Shasta County Auditor Controller, and I took office in January of 2007. Prior to that, I served as the Assistant Auditor Controller for Shasta County for 8 years, and I have also served as the Assistant Auditor Controller for Tehama County for 6 years. So I have then 2 years in between where I was working in the Shasta County Auditor's Office for their payroll manager and property tax manager. So I have over 19 years' experience in county government accounting, specifically in an auditor controller's office, which is extremely valuable in this time and age. I also have 18 years of private sector accounting and management experience, and I have over 300 accredited hours of specific training and education that deals specifically with county government that we deal with every day.
And you've also got, you have, of course, a husband, and you've got 2 children.
Yes, I do. I have a husband of 27 years, and David Regnell, and I have 2 wonderful children, a son and daughter-in-law with 2 wonderful grandsons that live in Nebraska, and a daughter and son-in-law that are currently serving in the Air Force. She's in her 12th year of service and is currently pregnant, with going to be a granddaughter in July. And they are serving in Mississippi right now. She has really made us all proud by doing 3 years in Germany and 2 tours in Iraq, actually.
Oh, we applaud her.
Yes.
We have to take a break here in a minute, but you've been in the community now for how long?
Since 1968.
Okay, and besides just your work as an auditor and that, you've gotten involved in other aspects of the community, too.
I have been involved with the community activities. I started with Rotary in 1991 and had served as president of 2 different clubs and currently in Reading Rotary. But I guess the thing I am most proud of is that in 1998, I started the first Reading Relay for Life for the American Cancer Society. And I chaired that for the first 4 years, and it's going to be coming up in June for its 13th year. And so that's really quite an accomplishment, and I'm very, very proud of that that feat. So in June, everyone can go out and celebrate those cancer survivors again. That event has raised more than $2 million in this area alone just for the research for cancer patients. And so that's very important to all of us.
Well, that's wonderful.
Thank you so much. We've got to take a break. Our guest today is Connie Regnell, taking your calls here, 605-4567. If you have questions for our Shasta controller, and also emails Linda at KCNR1460.
Join us after these breaks.
Market.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Portions of the show are brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in humidor in the North State. Espresso Joe's gives you the coffee that you want, any type of coffee. Those girls will make you your special double latte, no-fat, foamy, whatever, if you have those. Of course, if you have those, you don't ride a Harley. You ride something else. Or you wear Vans, like our friend.
I stand corrected, because our guest today is Connie Regnell, and I said that you were running for controller. You are currently the auditor running for controller. Is that correct?
No.
Okay, well, no.
Sorry.
No, clarify, please.
I am currently Shasta County auditor controller.
Okay.
The elected position is the auditor. And so I'm seeking re-election for the auditor. The controller portion is an ex officio position that's been added by our Board of Supervisors based upon some code sections in legislation that allows it to do so. So it incorporates the two functions within my position, but it's the auditor component that is the elected position.
Okay, good. That's good to clarify that. Thank you so much.
Explain to the audience what the auditor does.
Yeah. The auditor is the chief accounting officer for the county. And you can reference that because it scares people. If I walk in with my badge on and it says auditor, people are thinking, oh, my God, you're going to audit me.
They think IRS right away.
Exactly, IRS. No, if you put it in reference with a very large corporation, a $390 million corporation that has a large accounting office, it's the office where we take care of processing payroll for every county employee. We audit every vendor check that is cut for any invoice that is issued throughout the county of Shasta. And then we also have to take in any monies that are deposited in the Treasury, and we audit those to ensure that they are being recorded appropriately to the appropriate accounts. I also take care of property tax, put the rates on your property tax bills. I work in conjunction with the assessor recorder that puts the value on your property. I basically calculate the rates and tell you how much you're going to pay. The tax collector will bill you and collect your money. And then once it's collected, I apportion that money back out to the entities within the community that receive those property tax dollars.
So you are the one that puts the value on the property? Is that it?
No, value.
That's the assessor recorder. Okay,
right.
Got it. Well, this is a pretty spirited little election we've got going here, as people probably know. Randall Faulkner running against you, and he's been on the show, of course.
Yes, he has.
And I'm sure that you've heard him. One of the things he talked about was a grand jury investigation.
Yes. I really would like to put that grand jury investigation to rest.
Let's do it.
Okay. And you're going to see it throughout the event, the campaign, because it is clearly even noted on his candidate statement, which I believe is very misleading. Because the grand jury investigation he is referencing, where it discloses that there was investigation of the county auditor and found lack of qualifications on that auditor, what is not disclosed is that grand jury report was in 2003. I took office in 2007. So I've done a little research, too, for grand jury reports. And since that report in 03, there was in 06, 07, and I took office in January of 07, the only mention of the auditor controller in the grand jury report was to mention that we had a clean, unqualified opinion on our financial audit. That's a good thing. Not again until 2007 and 8, where they were doing a review of all the websites for all the city and government offices and such, and they noted that the auditor controller did not have a published website up at that time, and that website was put in place by July of 08. During that first year, as we'll get into a little later, I was implementing a financial system that was really taking priority at that time. The next time it was mentioned was in 08-09, and then in that time, the grand jury was talking once again about the clean, unqualified opinion of our financial audit and also did an overview of our new financial system that I implemented. And it stated that the system includes electronic transmission of source documents, electronic signatures for authorization at multiple levels based upon predetermined criteria. System also includes extensive reporting and incident alert capabilities. And it has added significantly to the efficiency and the related cost savings, financial processing, reporting, and control. That's what they've been saying about me since I took office.
Oh, okay. Because it was mentioned a few times that the grand jury investigation. We're looking at decreasing values on homes, properties, businesses.
Well, let's back up just a minute. So I think that what we did, you were able to have your on-air rebuttal the grand jury investigation and the fact that you're stating it happened in 2003 and you have facts that the investigation happened in 2003 and you took office in 2007. So,
and since then there's been no findings or anything.
Only good.
Okay. But we do have a telephone call, and that's what we're going to be fielding your calls and your emails. Email me, Linda, at KCNR1460.com. But right now, let's go to the phones. Good morning, John. You're on KCNR. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
And Carl, welcome back.
Thank you.
Good to be back.
Good morning, Connie. Nice to have you with us here.
Good morning.
How you doing? I've got a question for you, Connie. It's been reported that your department has had an 86% turnover rate in the past few years. understanding that all county offices suffer turnover, this is almost three times the county average. This would seem to point to an internal issue. The cost in replacement and training and lost efficiency of these employees has got to be enormous, and I'm wondering if you can address this issue and how you can move forward in the future and try to minimize what's going on there.
Absolutely, John. I currently have 20 employees in my office, and of those 20 employees, 10 of those employees have been in the office since 2007 or prior. When I took office in 07, well, you have to remember back to a campaign in 2006, the two candidates, myself and my opponent, were both working in the auditor controller's office. It definitely made for a divided office. And upon that time when I was victorious and put in office in January of 2007, yes, there were several employees that chose to move on to other places. And that's their choice. I can tell you, because my opponent will tell you, that that 86%, he says there was 19 employees that have come and gone from my office since I took office. And that is true. Three of them were promoted to other departments. Six of them retired. Three of them took lateral transfers. Three resigned. And four of those employees that came in did not pass a probationary period, which is allotted to us through our county government, our policies and procedures within Shasta County. I truly believe that if an employee is not being held accountable and performing their jobs as required, they have no entitlement to a position any more than a private sector employee should. So they must be trained, held responsible, give the responsibilities, and then held accountable. Some people do not like that heavy workload in my office or that accountability requirement.
John?
Yes.
Does that answer your question?
It pretty much does. I'm still really concerned about the cost of training and retraining and the lack of qualifications of people coming in. I think Connie answered what is going on in her office, and it just seemed like a large amount of turnover. Thank you very much for your answers, Connie.
Well, John, I'd like to answer one more part of that.
Okay.
I have the largest accounting office in the county, and many of these positions that I have disclosed with you are entry-level positions. They are the senior account clerks. They come in, and they are trained to audit all of these claims that must be allowed for payment. These are the positions that, after they have completed 12 months of probationary period, they're eligible to move throughout the county through promotions. And my office is the best training ground there is for the county, because employees in my office work with the entire county, not just with an individual department. And so they are given a very wide spectrum of training and qualifications, and departments love to take my employees.
On a more personal note, can I ask you one specific about the department, and then I'm going to let you go?
Sure.
But there has been, I don't know how to state it, except that it's said that there has been some major restrictions on the okay for your employees to communicate with people outside the department, that you have really put a gag order in place on the department. Is this true?
Oh, come on, John. How could I do my job if I restricted my employees from talking to other departments? I will tell you the way that this issue has come up. My opponent, who did work in my office for 7 years, seven weeks before he was released from his probationary period, as with all of my new employees, when they come in, I set them down and I tell them, this is a department that works with every agency within the county, every department. And until you learn the complexities of this office and what those internal workings are, you must utilize the internal resources first before you start venturing out. I want to be sure that the appropriate information is being shared with other departments. And when you're new, you don't have that knowledge base. If I was to restrict every employee in my office from talking to anybody else, I would never get my job done.
Thank you for your candid answers.
You're welcome.
Thank you, John.
Bye.
All right. Our guest today, Connie Rignell, who is our county auditor controller.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're taking your call, 605-4567. Now is the time for you to ask those questions maybe you've been sitting on. I do have a couple questions. When we come back, we're taking your emails. Linda at KCNR 1460. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio.
As hard as it...
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. KCNR 1460, our guest is Connie Rignell, who is the Shasta County Auditor Controller.
You've had quite a few accomplishments, and we are going to take a call in just a moment because we have to take a hard break in about 5 minutes. But You implemented the financial system used by nearly 600 users at the Department of District level.
Yes, I did.
And
we actually, when on July 1st of 2007 is when we actually put this implementation into place. On June 30th of 2007, there were approximately 40 users of the financial system throughout the county, most of those users in my office. We were running reports for every department. They could not have a whole lot of access on their own. When we implemented the new as of July 1st of 2007, we went from 40 users to almost 400 users overnight. Of course, that had a little issue on our server capabilities and such, but we worked through it. We're now up to nearly 600 of those county users. And what that does is give them real-time access to their data. So they can get information from their financial systems. They know when an invoice has been submitted, when it has been approved for payment, and when the vendor has actually cashed that check. They can run all the reports on their own. So they can do the revenue trend analysis. They can do all the tracking capabilities. And they have this 24/7 to them. We also have every county employee is now on time cards online, which means they are inputting their own time into the system. Nobody's having to do it on a paper card anymore. It gets routed through. It's more efficient, more time savings, and, of course, it does save throughout the county.
Right.
Great. Okay. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to line one. Gary.
Gary.
How you doing, everyone?
Hi.
Colonel Potts. Connie.
Good morning.
Listen, I'm not an accountant, and I understand that be able to learn this stuff by your boots rather than going to school. You go in there and you learn on the job. I think that's great that you can do that. You're a smart woman. But isn't the law in California now saying that you got to be a CPA to be an auditor controller?
Absolutely not. Government code, which is legislation by law, county law, there are three ways in which you qualify for running for the position of county auditor. One of those is to be a CPA, and it does not require any governmental experience whatsoever, just a CPA. The other is to be have a bachelor's degree in accounting with a minimum of 3 years in a management position in a fiscal county, city, or some type of governmental office, or three consecutive years as a chief deputy, an assistant auditor, or as the auditor controller. And I, of course, qualify as the third, and with 19 years now of experience, I have all the historical knowledge that's necessary and the experience because, as you said, I did learn it from the ground up.
Well, the only thing is, during that grand jury report, you were actually working in the auditor controller's office, right?
Yes, I was.
You were underneath, was his name, Edwards or Davids, whatever his name was.
That was
and
prior.
And you were actually part of that whole grand jury report that faulted the county.
No, I was not.
Well, you were working in the office.
Yes, I was. I was the assistant.
Yeah, you were the deputy. And a lot of times, let's face it, you know, you were the only one there. I mean, that's what I'm told. I know a lot of people in that office. And, you know, you say a lot of people retired, but they retired under duress. I know a couple of people. You made a hellish office for them to work
Gary,
in.
Gary, you're going
to
have
–
Gary, we've got like a minute left. If you're making severe allegations, can you give names?
Well, I know. You know, I'm making allegations, but I can back it up if I have to.
Okay.
So, you know, let's face the facts, Connie. You got a lot of enemies.
I have disgruntled past employees that chose not to work under the environment.
You know,
okay, we're going to have to take a break here, and thank you for your call. And go ahead, Carl.
You can hold if you'd like to on the other side, but we're going to take a quick break here. In fact, it's a hard break for the news. This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Our guest is Connie Rignell, the Shasta County Auditor Controller. Now, let's get into that last phone call. Linda and I do not have a dog in the fight. Our job here is to provide a platform for people who are running for office to be able to tell the people what they are, who they are, what they believe in. The questioning from our callers can be rough at times. We have to break at the half hour. It's in our contracts with Fox. So I don't want people to think that we're just cutting people off because the questions are getting tough. We don't do that. And unfortunately, we lost Gary on the other side. This is your place to ask the questions. If the candidates can't handle that, well, you need to know that too. Just when the only other thing is, you know, accusations going out to thousands of people need to be backed up. So, you know, and we have stopped that before, not in this case, nor will we, when we were talking another one about scandals. And so when we get to scandals, we'd really take a look at that one. But none of that was mentioned.
And we are taking your emails now while you're listening. At go to Linda at KCNR1460.com, and we have it up and on right now. Connie?
Yes, I'd like to go back just a little bit to touch on those employees. I do also, when I did take office in January of 07, with the turnover that we did have, I was able to do two things. I restructured the office. I eliminated one of the management positions because we were too hot top heavy, so I needed another accountant, so I restructured that. I also believe in promoting my employees from within whenever possible, and so those people that I had working with me for years were able to promote up, and yes, as long as they were did their jobs and took the responsibility and were accountable for their actions, those people are doing well. But, of course, that means you have to start backfilling, and that's where this turnover has come. I do believe that a county employee should be treated just like a private sector employee. You must be accountable. I must really be accountable because I'm being paid with citizens' tax dollars, and I feel that responsibility not only to myself but to my staff also.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Elizabeth, you're on KCNR. Thanks for waiting.
Elizabeth, you're on the air. Elizabeth. Okay.
Oh, we lost Elizabeth. Let's call us back, Elizabeth, and we'll get you right on this time.
All right. So now let's go to another question that we have here, which would be, or a comment. How has the new financial system saved the community money?
It has eliminated a lot of the duplicative entry, where a department in the past would receive an invoice from a vendor, and they would then have to key it in or type it in or handwrite it onto a claim form, and hand route that document around through their department for approval processes, then bring it over to my office. We would audit the document, have to do the data entry for it, and then process the check. It would take time. We have, now they can do it online at their own department, so we're now totally decentralized. The information is all stored online and routed electronically for those approval processes, which speeds up the process on their side. And also, once it gets to my office, we can perform the audit, post it to the general ledger, and cut the checks.
Okay, I know that you kind of touched on that earlier, but we just kind of want to go into a little bit more detail about that.
You know, every year, and we ask this every time, the county, the city, the state comes up with all brand new rules and regulations. And my question is, of course, to everybody is, do you ever go through the old ones to see, are they, one, still viable? Two, how do they affect business? Three, how do they affect the people here? And four, are they costing us more money and driving people away? Every year there's more.
There is. Well, when we implemented this new system, since we totally went to a web-based and it's now decentralized, we actually had to go back through all of our manuals and all of our accounting manuals within the department to upgrade them for the new system. So we have done that. And in order to do that, we also brought in other departments to give us their feedback. The one that really gets us the most is that we have state and federal legislators that are giving us new standards all the time. What was done in the Auditor Controller's office 5 years ago is not being done now. We have a Governmental Accounting Standards Board, which is federal regulations that governs how all governmental entities must do their financial reporting. Those changes have created a great deal of increased responsibility in the office, but also another layer of reporting requirements that we must adhere to. So we had to completely change our financial statement reporting process 4 years ago. We have another one coming up now that we're having to implement, which is just making some changes to the way fund balances are being addressed. I know this is not really a lot of information a lot of people know. However, the state and federal guidelines are what govern how I do my job. I'm not a policymaker. I have to adhere to government policies, state policy, federal policies, anything the Board of Supervisors has adopted, and especially what has been adopted by the state law through legislation.
So how are you saving us money?
I am saving you money because, first of all, we've becoming very efficient. I have also reduced employees because of this financial system that we've implemented, since I'm not having to do all the data entry. What used to be 3 data entry operators, I now down to 1, which does approximately half-time data entry. So that is definitely a savings. Also, we're saving on the processing of printing of checks. We also used to process a check run every day. And that would take a couple employees substantial amount of time. One employee would be approximately 3 hours just in order to post the badge, print the checks, review the checks, seal the checks, and add attachments to checks. I'm now doing that once a week on Tuesdays and also a small one on Fridays, which is for more for travel advances and such. And that has definitely saved the county money because we used to process a check to a single vendor every day of the week. We now consolidate that into one check. So there is a savings. In just our accounts payable checks alone, we have reduced over $1,000 a month.
Well, I have a question for you. I mean, we've got to take a break, and when we come back, we've got more questions. Our guest today is Connie Regnell, who is our county auditor controller. And we'll be back. We're taking your call, 605-4567. This is Free Fire Radio. Carla Lindebot here on KCNR 1460. Clearly, News Talk Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. ZZ Top. Saw them on my birthday a couple years ago. It's like they said, you know, we've been playing the same three chords for 40 years, and you guys love us, and we love you. So, and I thought, 40 years? How could that be? I thought I'd been listening to them since I was a kid, and I'm only 30. It turns out that I was wrong, and they were right.
And their beards are still red.
Well, red?
Aren't they?
Gray.
Are they?
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
That's why you think my hair is still...
It was red through the haze of the smoke at Sturgis.
Well,
so
it was
like...
the smoke from the motorcycles that were running through there.
Anyway, our guest today, excuse me, if you're just tuning in, you're driving along, you're listening to Free Fire Radio here on 1460. Our guest today is Connie Regnell, who is our county auditor controller. She's, you know, switch it backwards. And I've got it. I'm getting it. But you are running for auditor.
That is correct.
And so this is all about, we're all in the process at this point for so many offices that are coming up in our election process and our election time. So let's talk. You wanted to cover a little something about your accomplishments within the state.
Yes, I am very active in the state as far as the associations are concerned. And I believe that's extremely important for Shasta County because it ensures that our voice in the North State is being heard. And so I currently chair the Legislative Committee for the California State Association of County Auditors. I have chaired that for the last 3 years. And I also recently chaired a County Budget Act Revision Committee. It took almost 2.5 years to do. But we went out and we rewrote the entire Budget Act legislation, which had not been amended since 1986. And then we also put in a new manual so that they can implement this. And this is all done to try to get the consistency in reporting back across the whole state of California. Our budgets are not being prepared consistently right now. Even though we all follow the Budget Act, now we're going to have new revised guidelines that are going to assist us in making that a more comparative type reporting process. I am also currently the second vice president of the state association, and are we in April? No. In April, I'll be sworn in as the vice president for the association. Also, during the last couple of years, I worked very closely with former Assemblyman Doug LaMalfa in getting legislation changed for our special districts. We have independent districts. We have over 60 independent districts in Shasta County, some of them receiving less than $5,000 in revenue a year, and they are all required to have an audit on an annual basis. And they could cost up to $3,000. Well, what this legislation does, it gives them a small window that if they meet the requirements for it, such as less than $150,000 and all of their transactions are through the auditor controller's office for auditing purposes, they can then request a review instead of an audit. It does require some extra consideration because we still insist upon the accountability. So it is one way that we're trying to help save money for our special districts also.
You know, one of the things that that has happened here in the last year was the county sheriff.
Yes.
Had one of their employees embezzling money. And it seems to us, and we don't want to joke about these things, but to us it seems like every other month we have a picture of a really nice lady in an orange jumpsuit that has been embezzling. She was not caught through an audit, from what I understand. And you said that it's difficult to do audits because of the number of people you have.
This is true.
And I was just wondering if there's one that's taken $18,000 out of one of the city departments and county departments. What about others?
Well, it's definitely possible. We do have accounting policies in place. We have all the internal control policies in place, the cash handling policies. And we do try to educate all the departments as far as what these policies are. Even the new financial system we put in have software capabilities for tracking some of these trend analysis so that the departments can also be watching to see if their revenues are staying constant or not. However, if they're not being followed, there is the possibility for the embezzlement. And once that happened in the sheriff's office, the sheriff and I got on it immediately. We worked together. We have upgraded their internal policies for their cash receipting policies. They've implemented new documented policies internally, and they've now are complying with all of the internal controls, and hopefully that will be caught. We do have to always remember, though, if somebody really wants to do this, they're going to find a way. We just have to try to put enough things in place to prevent that.
Have you looked at the rest of the county departments that handle cash to make sure this doesn't happen?
We do look at them on a cash receiving basis on a regular basis. We do, and I do have times when we have shortages that should come up in their cash drawers or their petty cash funds, and we do a full investigation of all of those to ensure that the policies are then being followed too.
Okay. Now we're going to have to take a real quick break here. Nancy, you're on the line, and we will get to you as soon as we get back from this quick break. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here 605-4567. Let's go to line 8 for Nancy. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I'd like to speak to one of the comments that was made about people leaving the office. I was one of those so-called disgruntled employees that left the office when Connie took office. Actually, I left prior to that. I was a county employee for 17 years, and in all that time, I was an exemplary employee, and you can check my references and my personnel file there. And it wasn't until about a year prior to the election that Connie started to harass her three managers who were a threat to her because we all had college degrees in accounting. And I left under duress. I retired on my 50th birthday, which was an early retirement, and really couldn't afford to retire. I'm subsequently employed elsewhere. But one has to remember that even before Connie took office, Connie was in charge of that office and actually the subject of those grand jury reports because Rick Graham was a nice guy and didn't cause any problems.
Nancy, do you have a question?
No, I just wanted, you know, you accused the former caller of, you know, of saying that he needed to back up his claims that there were...
No, I didn't accuse him, just saying...
People left under duress. Well, and I was one of those people,
okay.
So it was a true statement that he made.
Okay, well, that's what I was at, is, you know, if somebody can say something, and then you're answering the question then.
Right.
Do you have a question for Connie, or just,
no,
you're
I
just
don't.
A statement then?
No.
Okay. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Yep.
Okay, Larry. Good morning. You're on KCNR.
Hello.
Yeah, Larry, you're up.
Hello, Connie.
Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. Hey, I just talking about the audits and they mentioned the Sheriff's Department. Talking about that, you don't have an ongoing internal audit staff, do you?
Yes, I do.
You do?
I have a very competent CPA that is now doing my internal audits and financial reporting.
Does he go around to the various departments and audit funds like the sheriff's fund that had a little problem?
As necessary, yes. And yes, we have audited the inmate welfare fund on an annual basis for the sheriff's office.
Had you audited that fund that the woman had done the embezzlement with?
The fund that was the embezzlement, of course, was a cash handling issue for the CCW permitting. So that was not an actual fund. That was a procedure that was done within the records unit of the sheriff's office, and those areas have, yes, definitely been addressed.
On an ongoing basis, you did review that fund, that cash handling procedure?
In that particular office, no, Larry, we did not, because it was under the instructions of the accounting internal control policies and procedures. Fiscal accountability is extremely important to me, Larry, and as an accountant, you also understand that these are necessary items. And our office, even with the reductions that we have maintained all the total controls and all the customer service necessary. And granted, there are some people that have not appreciated some of the changes that we've had to make in order to take care of our budget cuts. However, we have made the office more efficient and more effective by doing so.
I think an ongoing audit, you're responsible for all cash handling within the county.
Actually, Larry, the management in each department is responsible for the cash handling within their departments, and the management is responsible for ensuring that the county's policies are being followed and adhered to.
Yeah, but doesn't the auditor controller have overall responsibility?
No.
Yes, they do. Anyhow, I think an ongoing audit program that reviews all of these types of things on an ongoing basis is a deterrent.
Larry,
this is my point.
Larry, I know what you are after. I know what your questions are. And yes, it would be wonderful if I had the capabilities of having a full-time audit staff of 3 to 4 people that could go and do audits. We have to randomly choose those audits that we can perform to maintain that fiscal accountability. And as we find areas that need to be addressed, we definitely address those. And we try to maintain all the appropriate policies and procedures and those controls on the computer in place to assist those departments.
In addition to staff, would it be possible to hire outside independent contractors?
Absolutely.
To perform these duties?
Absolutely. But that, again, is an expense. Even when we're talking about the special districts, they are required to have an audit, and either my office can do them or outside audit firms can do them. Our goal is to try to assist them any way we can and also help them with their financial situations at the same time.
Districts are a little different thing. They have their own governing board, et cetera, et cetera. I'm talking about organizations within the county umbrella, the county supervisor's umbrella.
Okay.
Departments, so to speak.
It sounds, Larry, like you are in agreement almost everything you're talking about. It's just it comes down to the fact of funding for implementing some of these. I think everybody wants to have an auditor, within the auditor.
I would love to be able to go out and audit every department on a rotational basis and audit them for all areas of fiscal accountability. At this point, though, it's just not available, so we have to address them the best that we can, and we have to do the issues that need to be addressed. I am the incumbent. I am the person that has the experience, and I will continue to be that person to make these accountable issues.
Hey, Larry, thanks a lot for your phone call.
We just have a few minutes left, and I would like to ask you, you moved here with your family, Connie, in 1968, and you've been so involved on so many levels in our great North State here. Why are you running again?
Because I am experienced, and I know the job, and I know I'm the best person to do the job. I also have to honestly say and sincerely say that my opponent does not have the experience that's necessary to do this job. The historical knowledge base is so critical. We have to be able to maintain a technical department. The auditor's department, as I said, is not a policymaking department. It's an enforcing department. We have to require full compliance, and that's why you have to have that full background. And the technical knowledge that's there has to stay there. And it has to have the experience that brings it in. As I said in the beginning, the qualifications, minimum qualification would be a CPA, but it does not require any experience in county government. County government is totally different. So I feel I am making a difference. I feel I'm assisting Shasta County. I have been told by one of our supervisors that I'm the toughest auditor Shasta County has ever had, and that's a good thing.
How do people get in touch with you if they want to interact with emails and with your reelection?
I have a website that is on right now, and it is www.reelect, with the hyphen between re and elect, ConnieRegnell.com. And they can go out there, and my home phone is also attached there. They can contact me. They can email me, and I'd love to address these questions. But I really do want to emphasize to the citizens out there, change is good as long as it's knowledgeable change. I have made many changes in my office, and they've been very knowledgeable. We've done a lot of research before doing so.
However, in this case, we need to keep the technical experience. So please vote for Connie Regnell for Auditor, Shasta County.
Well, thanks, Connie, for being our guest. As we do, we're going to have everybody that's running, or even that if they're running on a post, we're going to have them on. This is Carlin DeBott. Our guest tomorrow would be Dr. Ray Johns from Haven Humane, among other guests that we have. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta, Redding.